I don't even know where we left off.
Start over again.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your glacier cruising, roast chicken eating, celebrating my favorite month friend.
And I'm Bethany, your wardrobe cleansing, eardrop using, haven't had a good night's sleep in a fortnight friend.
Oh, and every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
Kathleen, you just got back from a cruise.
I did, from Alaska.
And you are lucky you survived.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to talk about all of the awful things that have happened to people while on cruises.
Well, I'm glad that we're having this conversation after I've gotten back from one.
Yes, I held off on purpose.
And I'm talking about a phenomenon that you've never heard of, but you dearly want to.
Ooh. Okay.
It's called the Alaskan Triangle.
Dun, ooh, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Not to be confused with the Bermuda Triangle.
There's another triangle.
An obtuse triangle, which is how I'm shaped after I eat a lot of pizza.
The Framingham, nope. What's the name of the triangle? It's a triangle on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Is it like between Martha's Vineyard and like Block Island? Is it the Wasp Triangle?
It's just
Connecticut, Rhode Island. Massachusetts.
No. Oh, hold on. We're not stopping until I figure this out.
There's a triangle in Alaska, Bethany, where people go missing. Did you know that Alaska is the state that has the most people who go missing per year in the United States?
Really?
It's insanity.
Why did they go missing?
Well,
are you going to tell me?
I'm going to tell you.
The name of the triangle is... God damn, hold on. We're going to figure this out together.
The triangle of death, you know, the one on your face that's like the point between your eyes and then your cheeks, or is it your chin? And it's like if you pop a pimple in that zone, that triangle on your face.
Like the triangle of death?
It's going to go to your brain.
The different triangles in paranormal. Oh, mother.
Devil's something.
The Bridgewater Triangle.
Where's that?
Near Bridgewater.
Where's that?
On the East Coast.
Where's that?
It is Massachusetts.
Oh, I was kind of right.
An area about 200 square miles within southeastern Massachusetts.
Mm.
Paranormal phenomena.
Oh, is Salem in there? Probably.
It's got like a big swamp where people dump bodies.
I don't
lots
know
of stones.
Much about the geography of Massachusetts.
I don't either.
Other than Martha's Vineyard is a place that I really want to go.
I doubt that that's...
To hang out with the Obamas.
I doubt that that's part of the Bridgewater Triangle. But yeah, so good. I'm excited we're going to talk about weird Alaska.
Can we talk about how it's finally my favorite month ever?
Yes. It's a brisk, nice, chill. It's not chilly, but it's not hot.
September for me is more cleansing and renewing than the first of the year.
Oh, I fully agree with that.
Back to school.
Back to cool.
Uh-huh.
It's a fresh start. The leaves are dying. We are living. the leaves are dying their best life. We are living our best life.
Have you seen some of those pictures on Instagram of the little kids go into the first day of school and the mom will take picture like, first day of first grade. And then like what they look like when they got back from school and they basically look like a tornado hit them. Like one little girl in this picture that went viral, she's like wearing this cute little pleated skirt and she's got like, you know, a collared shirt and a big bow in her hair. And then after school that same day on the first day of school, she, like her skirt's missing. She's just wearing her bike shorts. Her shirt is all stained and crumpled up. And there's no bow and there's a rat's nest in her hair.
It's amazing. That's like when I put my makeup on and then leave the house.
Yes.
And then it's just melted off
my
face.
I know. It's like 1 hour later. You just have like a streak of black running down your cheek. And you're like, I wasn't even crying. What is this?
I don't know. I can't keep makeup to sit on the tip of my nose.
Yeah, I hear you.
What is that all about?
And I often get sunburn on the tip of my nose. So I always have like permanent red nose.
It's so strange.
It always looks like I've had too many drinks.
Yeah, or like some of the cocaine.
Yeah.
Like I've been doing too much cocaine. Can I give you an ear infection update?
Oh, yes, please.
Ear infection update. So I saw the hole in my eardrum. I went to a different ENT. He used a scope. He showed me what he was looking at. The left ear, which is the good ear, it looks flesh colored.
Yeah.
But the right ear, the bad ear,
yeah,
looks like an ice hellscape. When he put the scope inside my ear, it was pure white, Kathleen.
It's white, just dead and shiny tissue.
Necrotizing fasciitis. It was gross.
It's like that part of the movie Titanic where they send like the cameras underneath to check out the ship.
It's exactly like
that. And everything's dead and like there's moss everywhere.
And mollusks just like adhering to the hull.
Crustaceans crawling around.
It's so awful. And he was like, you see that hole? I thought it was a tube, like a eustachian tube. No, that was the hole in my eardrum. It's like the size of... it's larger than a pencil eraser.
What the heck are they going to do?
So he's giving me ear transplant, which is why I've brought you here.
No, stop, really?
Do you have an ear I could borrow?
I will, Bethany, gladly give you an ear.
Really?
You'll have to take on the bulk of editing this podcast.
The good news is that you part your hair on the left, which means your right ear, which is the one I need, is mostly hidden.
You could have it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. As a vegetarian,
yes,
you know how sometimes when you get a heart, like a heart transplant, or like you need a new valve?
Yes.
Sometimes they'll use a pig valve.
They will use a pig valve.
Or a cow valve.
Yeah.
What if the only option to fix your ear was to use a valve from an animal? Would you do it?
I would literally need to know that it was ethically sourced and like humanely killed.
You'd have to like go meet the animal first, make sure all the parts were used for
everything. All the parts were used for everything. Yeah. I would probably like ask them to bless the animal. It would be very involved for the doctors involved.
Yeah.
But
I think about this a lot because I love animals. I support animal rights.
Totally.
But you know, like I have a coat that has some fur on it.
Ooh.
And I know. And but also I there's somebody very close to me in my life that depends on medicine that has to be treated on animals.
That's tough.
So like, you know, life-saving medicine that.
Totally.
So I think about this all the time about like sometimes I'm like, yeah, I don't want to wear leather or anything. I feel like a big hypocrite. But, you know, like ultimately if it came down to saving my life and
totally.
I don't know.
No, it is. It's tough. And I think we all need to draw the line where we feel comfortable. It's like that piece that you read a couple months ago where it was like to people who are fighting human trafficking but don't understand the rainforest is going away.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for all of your everything you do. Like,
thank you for trying.
Yeah, like we all have the thing that we're passionate about. And like for me, I draw the line at fur, but I definitely own leather. And I'm trying to phase the leather out, of course. Like as those items break down in my closet, I don't replace them.
Yeah.
But vegan leather is also awful for the environment because it doesn't break down. A lot of it is plastic. So it's tough to know what to do. And I think as long as you try to always do the best you can and keep learning.
I understand
I think that's what you can do.
I had no idea about vegan leather.
Yeah, I haven't done a ton of research about it, but...
It makes sense that it is made out of plastic, made to look like leather, because what else would it possibly be made out of?
Yeah. So,
like, sometimes I think they can make waxed canvas look like leather.
Yeah. It's treated with some chemicals, toxins in the plastics used to make them, right? So it's not environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
Right. And like I don't use Christmas trees because I always thought that having a fake Christmas tree was better for the environment. But when you do end up getting rid of it, it's like this plastic thing you're throwing into the landfill versus an organic tree, which can be mulched. And
I never thought about that in terms of Christmas trees. Yeah. So I guess getting the real tree.
Which is like grown on a farm, which is made to have real, like that's the purpose of the farm is to raise these Christmas trees.
It is better, unless it's filled with spiders.
Unless it's filled with spiders, which will leap out and attack you. So the moral of the story is I may have to have surgery on my eardrum, but we're not sure yet.
I will give you my eardrum.
Thank you.
If you need it.
Thank you.
I would not give you my kidney. You don't want my kidneys. I don't drink enough water. It's all
rosé. You don't
want
mine either. I've been drinking so much. The only way I can take this medicine for my ear is to drink first. And so
because it burns so much.
It hurts so much. So I have to get a little drunk, which is ruining my sleep. So sixes and sevens, Kathleen. We're at sixes and sevens.
There's this show on Hulu now. I think Mindy Kaling is the one behind it. She's like the creator or something. It's called Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah, I follow them on Instagram.
Based off of the movie that came out. I think it was the 80s or the 90s. And it's very cute. It's about four friends living in London. And recently there was an episode where somebody died and they, at the wedding, handed out shot glasses and they all took like shots of bourbon or whiskey or something, I thought.
Yeah.
What a fabulous way to have a funeral and have your life celebrated with your favorite drink.
Totally. Sometimes you just need to do a shot is what I'm learning.
So I told my husband, I said, listen, if I die young, like if I die within the next 5 years,
yeah,
you best be having a pizza party where there is unlimited rosé.
Dude, that's a good idea. I was going to ask you what would be your food of choice, yeah, or drink of choice.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. You can hear the ice in my thing.
Yes.
So Kathleen, we're back. Labor Day was yesterday. I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you survived your cruise.
I'm glad that you labored all weekend, mm-hmm, and you rested the week before.
I did, yeah. And we're glad that you taste buds are back with us.
Well, you filmed a web series this weekend.
Yeah, I filmed 2 to 3 episodes. We're not sure how they'll cut together yet, so it's maybe 3, probably 2, of the new web series. And it's called Pet Peeved. It's about a mediator who helps with pet custody. So she doesn't work for the people, she works for the animal.
Well, it's a real thing, like, yeah, mediators in turn. Yeah, I mean, it's a real job.
Yep, completely. So, yeah, it's based on a situation that the woman who wrote it, Darren Strauss, actually knows about and experienced in real life. So we shot a couple episodes, and I got to work with animals on set, which was super fun. It was my first time, like, acting with a dog.
Oh,
so it's
I'm just
going to
call you Dennis Quaid.
Wait, why?
A Dog's Purpose.
Oh, was he in that movie?
Yeah, he's in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Did you watch a lot of Animal Planet to prep for this role?
No, I watched more like prosecutorial proceedings and mediations because my character's a prosecutor and she also does mediation. So
gotcha.
I watched a lot of those videos.
There's this show on Animal Planet called It's Me or the Dog. And it's...
It's me or the dog?
It's me or the dog. So it's one person in a relationship has a dog that's really unruly.
Okay.
That's like ruining everybody's lives.
Yeah.
Because it's not properly trained or whatever. And then so essentially one significant other says to the one that loves the dog, you're going to choose one of us. It's me or the dog.
Dude. I will choose the dog every time.
Well, so I had a landlord. She lived a couple houses down from me. And it was the kind of dog that it walked her. She, yeah, didn't walk the dog.
Yeah.
And so a film crew a few years ago, when I still lived in that apartment, was in front of the house and was like, hey, what are you guys filming? And they pointed like 3 doors down to my landlord's house. Like, oh, it's an episode of It's Me or the Dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I see her still walking the dog. And I think that her boyfriend is still around. So I don't know.
Oh, so maybe it worked. Did you ever see the episode?
I didn't know. I didn't like her very much. So I didn't care to watch her episode.
So it's like the version of like My Cat from Hell, but it's, yeah, me or the dog.
With Jackson Galaxy?
Yeah, with Jackson Galaxy.
He makes some really good cat toys.
He really does.
Speaking of which, guess what?
What?
I'm adopting another cat.
You are?
I am. I'm going to get another kitten.
Oh my gosh, when?
So I'm working on getting one, but you know, it's like the adoption process can be a little bit, it can be a little bit trying. You have to like, yeah, write an essay and, yep, and I have no problem with that, but yeah, it's like I wanted the cat tomorrow,
yeah,
and you have to wait.
Okay. Do you think Cannoli is ready to have a sib?
Cannoli is so ready to have a sib, and I'll tell you why I'm getting a sibling. Because when we were in Alaska, we were just watching her on the cat cam. She's very low. It's very hard to leave a singular. You used to have a singular cat, but you purposely didn't get a second cat because he didn't like other cats.
Yeah, but I think if I had done it earlier in his life, it would have been okay. You know, he was 6 by the time I tried to get a second cat, and so by that point he was just like a man
and
hated it.
I just feel so guilty going on vacation,
yeah,
and this was only for 1 week. Like, I would like to go to Europe next year for,
yeah,
2 weeks or at some point, and you can't leave an animal. I mean, I do pay. I have a service that comes in, you know, a couple times a day to,
yeah,
like feed and play and stuff, but you still need a friend. Cats,
yeah,
really, they do better with 2.
They do. People think that they don't need anything. They really want some stimulation.
They need love and attention.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. My little baby girl was all kissing up on my face this morning,
baby,
which she never does.
So she was so happy.
She was so happy to have me home, yeah.
Oh, well, we're all happy to have you home.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so glad. The picture of you and Neil in like a ravine kayaking was gorgeous.
Thank you. It was a once in a lifetime trip. And generally, cruises would not be my first choice of vacation.
Yeah.
But this cruise that I was on, Norwegian Bliss, the ship was beautiful.
Good.
My room was amazing. And I think that the best way, truly the best way to see Alaska, unless you own a private yacht, is on a cruise.
So number one way, private yacht. Number two way,
yeah,
cruise. Number three way, go missing.
Go missing.
You'll see it from the ground up.
Yes.
Okay. Kathleen.
Yes.
One of our favorite things to do is be comfy.
Yeah. Chillax.
Chillax. And also help people. Usually you don't get to do those two things at the same time.
I know. But you do when you're wearing Figs.
Yes. Figs is an amazing company that's making scrubs stylish and functional for the people who deserve it most. But they're also super comfy for people who aren't in the medical field. And when you shop at Figs, they give scrubs to healthcare providers in need around the world.
If you currently don't wear scrubs to work, you should petition your employer to make everybody wear scrubs to work.
Yes.
Because Figs are so comfortable and they're super stylish, and I have been basically living in my Figs joggers.
Yeah, same. And if you are in the medical field, you need some Figs. So here's the deal. Figs creates the highest quality medical apparel so that medical professionals look their best, feel their best, and perform at their best every day. Every set of Figs is antimicrobial, and they're made with yoga waistbands and come in a variety of styles, from classic straight legs to joggers and skinny styles, too.
We're not talking about, you know, those scrubs that used to pass for pajamas.
Yeah.
These are high quality, high fashion
scrubs.
Like the joggers that Bethany and I have, they've got these pockets and this like really soft waistband. And I wore them on the airplane to and from my trip to Alaska.
So, so comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And they have their Threads for Threads initiative. So like I said, every time you shop with them, they give scrubs to healthcare providers in need all around the world. To date, they've donated hundreds of thousands of sets in over 35 countries.
So whether if you're an awesome human that works in healthcare, or if you're someone who wants to say thanks to these deserving folks, Figs is going to make that easy by providing you with 15% off of your first purchase by using our code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, when you check out.
Get ready to love your scrubs. Go to wearfigs.com, that's WEARFIGS.com, and enter our code TASTE at checkout.
Yeah, buy them for your best friend. She's a nurse. Buy them for your mom. She's a dental assistant.
Buy them for your dad. He doesn't leave the couch.
No, buy them for your sister. She's a brain surgeon.
Buy them for yourself.
Buy them for yourself.
Buy them for yourself.
All right, I want to tell you about the Alaskan Triangle.
I've never heard of this, Kathleen.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so if you Google it, it'll show you a map. But basically, it's a triangle that connects Juneau, which is in southeast Alaska,
okay,
to Anchorage. At the very top, there's a place called Barrow. Barrow is in the Arctic Ocean.
Like wheelbarrow?
B-A-R-R-O-W. So those three.
Oh, geez, it's huge.
Those three places in Alaska. That is where the Alaskan Bermuda Triangle of sorts is. And actually, part of it stretches through the Yukon Territory, which is Kanata.
So, oh, wow. Look at that. Yeah, it's a huge triangle. What is that, a scalene? It's not acute.
I took geometry twice. I don't know. I should know.
Obtuse.
So
oblique.
According to themanual.com, there's an article there written by Mike Richard. It was published in 2018. More people disappear in Alaska than anywhere else in the United States.
That's so crazy.
Specifically, the Alaskan Triangle.
So it's either people who want to go off the grid.
Yes.
And also people who, like,
who go missing, who are taken. Okay, so much like the state of Alaska, the Alaskan Triangle consists mostly of rugged wilderness, harsh weather, thick forests, precipitous mountains, alpine lakes, deep crevices, wild animals, and a lot of nothing. So it's not surprising that people go missing here. What is surprising is the sheer number of people that go missing here. More than, according to themedium.com, more than 2,000 people disappear every year in Alaska.
That's insane.
Since authorities began keeping records in 1988, 60.7K people have been reported missing in Alaska. That's 5 people reported missing every year for 1,000 residents. Missing.
Jeez.
Missing. And each year, an average of 2,000 to 2,250 people go missing in Alaska. That's twice the national average for the rest of the United States.
What's the deal?
So sometimes people are found alive and well, and sometimes the remains are found, and other times people just disappear without a trace.
They'd be hiking and then they disappear. They'd be taken.
Their disappearances are blamed on everything from severe weather to aliens to swirling energy vortexes.
Ooh.
To evil shape-shifting demons. There's an Indian tribe in Alaska. I'm going to say their name incorrectly, and I'm trying my best. Tlingit, T-L-I-N-G-I-T. Tlingit Indian lore has a shape-shifting evil monster called Kashtaka. Ooh. Kashtaka.
Ooh.
And that's why they say maybe some people go missing, the Kashtaka.
Oh my gosh.
This region of Alaska first came into, you know, particular interest because in 1972, October 16th, 1972, the U.S. House Majority Leader Hale Boggs vanished. He was flying from Anchorage to Juneau on a day with not so great weather, and Politico did a whole story on this. He was on a small private plane, and the disappearance of the plane triggered the largest search and rescue operation up until that point in U.S. history.
Okay, A of all, those little planes scare me. B of all, the plane disappeared?
The plane disappeared in the Alaskan Triangle, Bethany.
Did they find it?
U.S. House Majority Leader Hale Boggs. No, they didn't.
They've never found
the
plane.
They never found it.
What the hell?
And there were so many people looking for this after 39 days. I mean, military aircraft, civilian planes. They were searching the grid after 39 days. The search was called off with no sign of wreckage or survivors. And the accident prompted Congress to pass a law mandating the installation of emergency locator transmitters in all U.S. civil aircraft. Nothing
Whoa.
Was found. Nothing was
See,
found.
And that's like, it's crazy to me if, even if the government, because he works for the government,
yeah.
Like, if they're like, look, okay, some sketch stuff happened. We can't tell you how he disappeared. We'll just tell you we found him. Because they knew that there was some top secret stuff going on.
Yep.
Da, da, da. But if the government can't find him, then you know it's dark.
And you know how there's a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding JFK?
Yeah.
Well, this guy, Boggs, he also has a conspiracy behind it because he was a member of the Warren Commission. The Warren Commission was the official group in charge of investigating the 1963 assassination of President JFK.
And he found out too much.
He found out too much. Now his plane went missing.
Oh,
now his plane went missing.
He was disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you know the book Into the Wild?
Yes.
Yeah, based on the disappearance of Chris McCandless. He went into the woods and, you know, they filmed the movie about it. And essentially he just got lost and there
yeah.
was a big river that he couldn't get over until
and there was
spring
like that,
and he
that
starved.
His bus that he sort of...
Yes, exactly.
People, like, still try to get to that bus.
So the author of the novel is John Krakauer.
Yeah.
Into the Wild. Based on, you know, the wilderness within the Alaskan Triangle. Okay, so they found out what happened to Chris McCandless.
Yeah.
But here
yeah.
are some stories about people they never found. Richard Lyman Griffiths. He was a man from Spokane, Washington. He invented a wilderness survival cocoon. This was in the summer of 2006. He headed into the wilderness in southeast Alaska to test his invention. He wasn't reported missing for a whole year because he told some of his friends that he wanted to like test out his cocoon
oh, no.
and maybe spend the winter in Alaska. And when he first started his trip, he stopped at a lodge and he's like, okay, I'm leaving some of my stuff here before I head out. A year later, a friend reported him missing, but it was too late. He was never seen again. Not even his bright orange survival cocoon was found.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing. And here's where it gets really weird. There's a race in Alaska on the 4th of July called July Mount Marathon.
Okay.
It's up a rugged mountain near Seward, Alaska. It's one of the most popular running events in the state, draws a large crowd of spectators on the 4th of July every year. And in 2012, a 66-year-old man totally disappeared from the race.
What?
Disappeared.
How?
Totally disappeared. His name was Michael Lemaitre. Lemaitre is French. L-E-M-A-I-T-R-E.
Lemaitre.
Lemaitre. This all comes from the medium.com.
So he like started the race.
He started the race. He was slower than the other people in the race.
So he was one of us.
So yes, exactly. So he got to the turnaround point basically last. And people who were running the race saw him right before he was about to get to the turnaround point. And they were like, he seemed fine. He was cool, whatever. Time passed. He never finished the race. His wife was like, hey, WTF, what's up? And they were like, okay, so let's just like give him until 8:30 at night to finish the race.
Well, I don't know. How about like go on the route and try to find him? This is what I don't understand.
I know. And so at 9 o'clock, they started the search. Alaskan state troopers, the Alaskan Air National Guard brought in their special helicopters that are equipped with heat sensing technology, but no warm bodies were detected on that mountain. And for 3 days, people combed the mountain searching for him, but not even a scrap of his clothing was found. And the search officially ended after 3 days, but his friends and relatives continued for another month with no luck.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
So some runners are speculating that he didn't see the rock you know, that was the turnaround point, that it was, that was marked the turnaround point.
Yeah.
And he just kept running.
Oh,
and
no.
He ran off the mountain.
Oh my gosh.
Which is awful.
That's awful for two reasons. Awful that he ran further than he had to, but also awful, you know, that he fell.
So with that scenario in mind, they searched the area where he would have run off and they still found absolutely nothing.
Oh my gosh. Gosh. Alaska.
Legendsofamerica.com. One of my favorite resources.
You love that resource.
There's a theory that within the Alaskan Triangle, there are vortexes of energy at work. And a lot of earthquakes happen in Alaska every year. A lot of earthquakes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. When I was there, an earthquake happened. like a 5-point whatever.
Did you feel it?
No, I didn't. Okay. So the Alaskan Triangle. If people are really going missing because of energy vortexes.
Which I hope that.
So if you are, if you're a human and you find yourself in a negative vortex, you may experience health problems, depression, nightmares, disorientation, confusion, both visual and audio hallucinations.
Ooh. That's what we went through when we both started Lexapro.
It was. And also the brain zaps when I went off.
Yeah. Did you go back on again?
No, I didn't.
Oh, honey.
I should. So other places in this world that have negative vortexes. The Bermuda Triangle, Japan's Devil Sea. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Easter Island.
Easter Island is those big stone heads.
Yes, you're right. It's a Chilean land. It's in the Pacific Ocean with all those big heads. Yeah. Ancient carved heads.
Two?
That's a negative vortex too. Okay. So despite all of this, despite people going missing,
yeah,
despite there being a possible vortex, despite there being rugged terrain, despite warnings from authorities regarding weather, wildlife, and environmental conditions, hundreds of tourists visit Alaska every year to see the unspoiled land, many of whom are unprepared for, you know, natural elements and such.
Did you feel prepared for natural elements and
I
such?
I did. I was prepared. And so many of these tourists become lost. And that's why they're saying that the Alaskan Triangle, because it's true wilderness, in between, you know, these cities,
yeah,
in the rugged terrain, that is why
that makes more sense. Like, if you decide to go to Des Moines and you're unprepared for Des Moines, what that really means is that, like, you're not going to be prepared to eat as much cheese as you ultimately are going to eat.
Or drink as much pop.
Right.
Or you should have worn your tennis shoes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But you're probably not going to die. But like, Alaska is sort of different.
Okay. So can I tell you one more crazy thing about Alaska?
Yes.
Have you ever heard about the famous Alaskan serial killer, Robert Hansen?
No.
Known as the Butcher Baker.
What?
Okay. So there's this,
oh, I love this,
really
so
strange,
much,
really strange guy. He was living in Anchorage. His name is Robert Hansen. He had a stint in the military. He had a failed marriage, blah, 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 whatever. He has a wife and two kids at this point. He moves to Anchorage. He opens up a bakery.
Ugh.
He's like a skinny guy. He's unassuming.
Never trust a skinny baker.
He's playing the part of a family man.
Okay.
He's totally conning everybody into thinking he's a family man. He grew up being made fun of.
Aww.
He is very skinny. He was painfully shy. And he didn't have a successful run in the military. He set some sort of bus on fire. That's why his first wife divorced him. Okay, I'm just going to leave
it
at that.
The military does frown on you setting their buses
yes.
on fire.
Yeah.
They're famous for that.
He moves to Anchorage. 20 years after he's already lived there, a 17-year-old woman was found running down 6th Avenue outside of town, barefoot and handcuffed. And after being picked up by police, she described being held hostage by a man who had raped and tortured her and chained her up.
Oh my gosh.
Before attempting to load her onto a bush plane to take her to his cabin. And she was able to escape before the plane took off.
Good girl.
This comes from allthatsinteresting.com. They profiled him. The author is Katie Serena. This was from March 2018.
Oh, my gosh.
The woman's description fit Robert Hansen, who was brought in reluctantly by police because he was just the town baker.
Yeah, it was like your buddy Ted being brought in, even though he, like, you know, is the town baker.
And he's a meek man. You know, they didn't consider him like any guy that you would look at him and go, oh, he's a strong guy.
That's okay? Why you can't trust us introverts.
So he admitted that he had met the young woman, that he believed that she was setting him up because he had refused to pay her extortion demands, blah, 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 blah. He had an alibi from a friend. So he was released.
Oh, no.
Still hung up on the handcuffed woman's mention of the cabin in the valley because, you know, she was like, he was trying to get me on a plane, take me to his cabin.
Yeah.
Alaska state troopers conducted an investigation of the area. They found several bodies in the valley where the woman said that this man was going to be taking her. Over the next few months, they found several bodies in the valley. They were all women.
Ugh.
Okay. Several of these bodies were never identified.
Oh, man.
Then they got a criminal psychological profile guy. You know, like Mindhunter from Netflix.
It's uncanny how they can be like, you know, this person is probably the second child of five children and has issues with airplanes and feels strongly about the color gray. And like, they'll nail it.
So based on the killings, they came up with a profile, and the profile was that the killer was likely an experienced hunter, which this guy was. Robert Hansen had set many hunting records in the Anchorage area. And that he had low self-esteem, and he had a history of being rejected by women, and he likely had a stutter. This guy had a freaking stutter, Bethany. He had a stutter.
That blows my mind.
That just based on the patterns of the dead bodies and the killings and the whatever, that they figure that out.
That is insane to me how good they can be.
They figured out that he had a stutter without even knowing who it was.
Oh, that's so crazy. Unbelievable.
So it turns out Robert Hansen fit the profile almost exactly. And furthermore, he owned a bush plane and he had a cabin in the valley where all these bodies were found. The police soon obtained a warrant. They found all of the evidence and he admitted to some of the murders, not all of them. Here's where it gets really, really gruesome. Upon kidnapping the women, usually sex workers or exotic dancers, he would take them to his remote cabin on a patch of land in the valley, this section of Alaska, and he'd set them free for a moment, and then he would hunt them.
Oh, that's awful. It's like the most dangerous game.
After raping them.
That's awful.
And kidnapping them. Armed with a hunting knife and a semi-automatic rifle, he would torture them for hours.
Oh my god, that's awful.
Days at a time until he located his prey, and then he shot them like game.
He died in jail.
There's a movie about this. It's called The Frozen Ground. It stars Nicolas Cage and John Cusack.
Oh my gosh. There are, I mean, not to like go too far down that rabbit hole, but you know, sometimes I'm like, people should be, if someone does something like that, they should experience it themselves.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you would hate to do that to someone who actually was wrongly accused. Do we ever hear about his friend who had the alibi for him?
No. But now I do want to go watch this movie, The Frozen Ground.
Nicolas Cage is in it, huh?
Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, and apparently Vanessa Hudgens. She's in it, too. She's like the original girl who escapes. The only victim of his who escaped.
Wow. Does Nicolas Cage play the serial killer?
No, I think that's John Cusack plays the serial killer. He plays the baker. Nicolas Cage is like an Alaskan state trooper.
Oh, he's our hero?
Out for the truth. But anyway, man. So Alaska, beautiful. I had the best time ever in Alaska. But it's a place that maybe you want to think twice before going.
Or at least maybe you're right. Maybe staying like with a group.
Yeah, go on a cruise. It was a lovely time.
Yeah.
Don't go out into the woods by yourself.
No, if you invent some sort of survival pod, maybe like test it out in your backyard first.
I was driving down the side of a mountain. I went kayaking up in Canada when I was in Alaska, and we were coming back into the United States, and we were driving down a side of a mountain, and there's these poles. I want to say they're maybe 15 feet. And the poles sort of had a loop at the top, and there was like some red paint and some white paint. And one of the people on the bus said to the tour guide, "Hey, what are those poles for on the side of the road?" That is how high the snow gets. So the plows don't drive off the side of the cliff. Bethany, it was like 15 feet in the air.
That place is no joke.
15 feet of snow. And people are like, yeah, let's go camping and hiking there in the middle of the winter.
Get
the F out of here.
No, I think that there are places to camp and hike. I feel like Alaska is not probably one of them.
Maybe in the summer. Like, maybe in the dead of summer.
Yeah, in the dead of summer.
The dead of like a like 65 degree day. 55 to 65 degree
even
day.
Even that, like if you lose your way.
I know.
You can so easily get turned around.
When I was in Juneau, I did a hike probably about 6 miles through the Alaskan rainforest. Southeast Alaska is so beautiful, and they have so many beautiful trails in, you know, Alaskan rainforest, which is sort of not a term that you hear all the time.
No, I don't know if I knew that was a thing.
But one green plant looks like another green plant. I mean, like everything's green inside of there.
Yeah, and if you're us who live in the city, we're not used to nature really at all, so we're way less adept at doing this sort of thing. And I think if you live like in a rural area, you probably have a better chance.
I don't know.
You recognize I don't know, nature.
So dangerous. I can't imagine ever, like, taking my backpack, you know, in a tent and saying, okay, I'll be back in 5 days. Like,
no.
I don't know. I don't think I would ever do it.
I was like, you know, after last week's episode where I talked about movie marketing, I fell down a Blair Witch wormhole. And I was reading about, like, how they shot it. And then they came out with another one a couple of years ago, which I didn't actually realize. The way that they shot the first one, which I think people know, but they gave them like cans, which they would open up and there would be instructions inside on what they were going to do that day because they were doing all the camera work themselves. It was like, you're going to travel south and then you're going to like get into an argument about this and then this is going to happen. Now do it. And like, I wouldn't make
it. So there was no crew.
No, they were the crew.
That's crazy.
Like, so, but like, you're doing a good job and finding the next set of instructions is predicated on you knowing which direction is south. I wouldn't make it.
No. I mean, I would open up my iPhone and download an app that was like...
Except it's 1998 navigation. Or something, and so they don't have that. Like, I just would be so useless. If I ever got lost in the woods, I would panic and immediately seize up and die.
Well, that's... You start, like, marking trees and stuff or leaving breadcrumbs. What's that fairy tale where Hansel and Gretel...
Hansel and Gretel.
You leave, like, cookie crumbs or something.
Yeah, guess what? Those get eaten... By the shape-shifting animal who's hunting you.
Oh, do you want to go into the vortex with me?
Yes.
It's a real thing.
I've learned nothing from this. Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
Let's go. Kathleen.
Yeah.
When you get lost in the woods and you're being hunted by a bear.
Yes.
You know what you want to make sure you're not doing?
Using tampons and pads that are not organic.
I know.
That's or exactly bleeding.
Or bleeding so the bear can hunt you.
Listen, I love Lola tampons. Yes. We've been a partner with them for a long time. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. I've used them myself.
Yes, same.
It's a product that I love, and that's why we want to share all this wonderful information with you.
Yeah, the founders asked themselves, if we care about the ingredients in the food we eat, the beauty products we use, why shouldn't the same be true of our feminine care products?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So unlike other major brands, Lola products are 100% natural and easy to feel good about. There's no mystery fibers. There's no doubt about what's going on in your body. No fragrances that are going to throw off your natural flora. Plus, Lola products come in a simple, customizable subscription, and Lola will deliver exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. Now, we don't promise that they'll ward off bears.
No, they won't ward off bears.
No, in fact, you're correct. They will not ward off bears.
But if you're going to be in the wilderness, you're in an organic environment, use organic sanitary products.
Yeah, while in Rome.
Yes.
Plus, do good with your purchase. For every purchase, Lola donates feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. And my favorite part, they now offer cleansing wipes that are safe for use anywhere on the body, which I love.
I love those cleansing wipes for my lady taco.
God, I hate it when you
for
say
my
lady taco.
Armpits. They're great for lots of different uses.
They are actually great when you're camping or out in the wilderness and you don't have a shower. Yeah,
they'll take off your mascara in a pinch.
Use separate ones. Use a different one for your mascara that you would for your underarms.
So for 40% off of your first month subscription to Lola, visit mylola.com and enter our code TASTE when you subscribe. That's TASTE.
Again, for 40% off your first month subscription, visit mylola.com and enter TASTE when you subscribe. Again, let's review. Does not ward off bears. Use a different wipe for your face than your underarms.
Use organic sanitary products when you're living in the wilderness.
When you're off the grid.
All right, it's September, so you know what that means.
What?
Time to update your wardrobe for the new season, and it doesn't have to be expensive because you can do it with...
ThreadUp.com. Yes, so I don't know about you. I'm not made of money. Who do you think I am?
I'm not made of money either. I'm made of carbon.
Yes,
and water.
And feelings. And ThreadUp knows that, like, you want new clothes for the new season. Going back to school especially, I don't know, you have kids. Come on, they're expensive, but you don't want to spend all your money on clothes. It's too stupid and expensive.
ThreadUp is the world's largest online thrift store where you can buy and sell secondhand women's and children's fashions.
They have over 35,000 brands like Anthropologie, Ann Taylor, Coach, Lululemon, and more for up to 90% off estimated retail. And every item is triple inspected by hand to ensure it's in high quality condition. Lots of items even have the tag still on them.
So you're probably thinking about, like, maybe a new pair of corduroy trousers or like some boots or something. Go to ThreadUp. You can filter by style, price, color, and condition, so you can quickly find anything that you're looking for.
And with over 35,000 brands to shop and thousands of arrivals every single day, you'll never have to pay full price again with ThreadUp. By the way, I sold some stuff through ThreadUp.
Oh, you did?
If you order a pair of, I don't know, knee-high red boots. They may have been mine.
No. Did you have sex in those boots?
No. What is wrong with you? I did not.
You know you did.
I am famously sex negative.
So for a limited time, ThredUp is offering an Acquired Taste listeners a special deal for an extra 30% off of your first order when you go to ThredUp.com/taste.
That's on top of the already low prices. So hurry and take advantage. That's ThredUp.com/taste.
There's no A.
ThredUp.com/taste. ThredUp.com/taste for an extra 30% off. Terms apply. Kathleen.
Yes.
You are so lucky you survived Alaska.
Listen, I'm telling you, Bethany, I had the best time on my cruise. I was on this boat called the Norwegian Bliss. I had a balcony. I cruised through Glacier Park. It was like the water was like a shade of blue that you could never even imagine. Maybe Ryan Gosling's eyes. Maybe.
Hey, girl.
Maybe.
So,
and I drank champagne on my balcony on my cruise looking at glaciers. I can't imagine a better time.
So you're lucky because you didn't get shoved overboard by like a drunk crew member. So Alaska's scary, but you know what? So are cruises.
Stun.
And when Kathleen was like, I'm going on a cruise, I said a little prayer to St. Michael.
Well, thank you.
To keep his sword in front of you at all times and protect you.
Oh, is he the patron saint of protection?
He'll like, yeah, he's like the protector.
And also, what is it, St. Francis? He'll find you if you're lost.
Is that St. Francis?
Wait, hang on.
Doesn't Francis love the animals?
Oh, sorry, St. Anthony. St. Anthony for lost things.
Hey, Anthony.
My mom got me a little statue of Anthony to keep on my dresser because I lose everything.
You lose St. Anthony.
I was looking for like my engagement ring once and my mom was like, here's Anthony, he'll help you.
Did you ever find your engagement
ring? I did, yeah.
Oh, well, look at that.
Yeah, it was in my jeans pocket.
Oh, jeez. Well, I've compiled a list of all of the different awful things that have happened on cruises.
Oh, great, yes.
So now this isn't exhaustive. Mm. I kept out some really dark ones. Okay.
No, you should include the really dark ones.
No, like I kept off like Costa Concordia that split in half and a lot of people died. It was awful. This happened a few years ago. So we're not going to talk about that one. What we are going to talk about, there's a lot of Carnival cruises that have some major problems.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cite a bunch of my sources at the top, but also I'll link to all of the sources in our notes. But a lot of these are from Cheat Sheet, CNN, New York Daily News, CBS News, and Wikipedia. Thank God for Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So the first one, Carnival Splendor, a.k.a. Spam, Spam, Spam. So
spam, spam, spam.
Spam, spam, spam. So in 2010, Carnival's ship Splendor experienced an engine fire that knocked out power, resulting in the boat being adrift for 3 days without power.
Oh,
so
my God.
4,500 passengers sat on the ship for those 3 days without lights, no toilets, no refrigeration. They had to live on rations that Navy helicopters dropped in, which included a ton of spam.
Can you imagine that this is your one big vacation that you were ever going to take in your life?
Yeah. Yes.
You've spent all of your money on this.
Yes.
And this happens?
Spam. Yeah. One passenger later told CNN that she knew people were getting sick because she saw bags of vomit lying around the hallways. And the worst part, Kathleen, the casino was closed the whole time.
Oh, no. Never.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't experience this at all. I just want to say, Bethany, I had the best time on my cruise. I had endless glasses of rosé.
I bet. But how many glasses of rosé do you think you had?
You know what I said to my husband yesterday? I said, I wish we would have counted. Like, because it's, you know, quote unquote free.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
when you're on board, you just like, you show them your room card and they're like, okay, here's like whatever, whatever.
Oh, I would be drinking nonstop.
I was on that ship for 7 days. I must have had 4 glasses a day.
That's it, girl. I would have done.
No, that's a lot. No, that's a lot for me.
I mean. All right. The next one. Carnival Triumph, a.k.a. the famous poop cruise.
Oh, the poop cruise.
Poop cruise. So in 2013, another fire in the engine room caused the Carnival Triumph to lose power and drift at sea. Over 4,000 passengers and crew were stranded without power. This means no AC and not a lot of light, water, or food.
Yeah, I mean, the interior of the ship, so much of a ship when you're on it, there are no windows.
No.
No windows.
And part of the problem, too, is not all of the generators worked, I don't think.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
No.
Oh, really?
Never.
You should do the Alaskan cruise. That one is the one that's worth it. I would gladly be adrift for a couple of days in Glacier Bay National Park.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, you know what else they lost when they lost power?
What?
Toilets. Yeah. Passengers woke up to fire alarms and smoke, and they had to endure bags and bags of human waste lined up along their hallways. They lived like this for 4 days before the ship could be towed to Mobile, Alabama. Later that year, CNN got a hold of company documents that showed that Carnival's own inspection and maintenance teams knew there was a problem with this ship over a year before poop cruise.
Oh, shit.
But the Coast Guard had approved the ship to go anyway.
Oh, shit. Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, that's bad.
Okay.
I wonder if they got a refund.
I think they got like a voucher for another cruise.
Oh, at that point, I'd be like, never again.
It's like when you try, it's like going to get a spinal tap and they do it wrong and they're like, don't worry, we'll give you another spinal tap.
And you're like, yeah, no thanks. It's the most painful thing ever.
It's the last thing I want from you. Okay, 2015.
Okay.
Seaborne Spirits, AKA Ahoy Pirates.
Ahoy.
So in 2015, literal pirates attacked a ship that was 100 miles off the coast of Somalia.
No.
The pirates used machine guns and rocket-propelled grenades. Passengers were moved to the ship's ballroom to keep them safe, and the crew made a loud bang to make the pirates think they were firing back. Luckily, nobody was hurt, and the ship was able to change course and escape. By the way, this was not the basis for the Tom Hanks Somali Pirates movie.
I'm the captain now.
That came out 2 years before this even happened.
So basically, it was the inspiration.
No, I mean, maybe the...
Yeah, the movie was the inspiration for these pirates.
Yeah, maybe.
They were like, look at this amazing cruise ship. There's a casino on it.
They're all hiding in the ballroom.
Oh, my Lord.
Celebrity Mercury, a.k.a. Oi, what a bad month.
Oh, was it Australian?
I don't know. I just liked the word oi.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. In 2010, Celebrity Cruises had 3 norovirus outbreaks in the span of a month.
I will say that everywhere that I went on Norwegian, they have people before you're entering sort of any sort of food hall with like, hey, can I give you hand sanitizer? Hey, can I give you hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
And then they have specifically by the bathroom doors, paper towels that you can open up the doorknob with.
That's nice because they've learned.
Because, yeah, the norovirus is not something to mess with.
Yeah. The last was the Celebrity Mercury where more than 400 passengers and crew experienced gastrointestinal problems in the span of a month. There were 3 different ships.
You know, on my way home from my cruise, I was at the airport looking up some of these facts about like getting sick on cruise lines. And there is a way. There's like public record where you can look to see when the ship that you're going to be on has been last inspected, what its grade was, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, well, I looked up this next ship, and it is still running.
Ugh.
This is Carnival Ecstasy, a.k.a. The Real Life Shining.
No.
2016, a couple on the Carnival Ecstasy were on their way to dinner when they passed the elevators. A sheet of blood was pouring out the front of one of the elevators.
No!
It turns out that crew electrician Jose Sandoval Opaso was working on the elevator when it came down. Sheets of blood.
He was killed.
Uh-huh. Staff blocked off the elevator with a sign that read, sorry, but I'm not working at the moment. As just gore is like, they said it sounded like a rainforest of gore. That ship is still running, by the way.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these vessels do cost millions/$1 billion. Do you put one into retirement because somebody died on it?
I mean,
I don't know.
I would rename it at least.
Really, I wonder if you even can. You know, when you want to change your name legally, it's like a whole process. I wonder if it's like that for a cruise ship.
No, it might be.
Yeah. They may not legally be allowed to change their name.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible that it's like there's a whole licensing thing.
Yeah. I hope that couple asked Carnival or Celebrity or whatever it was.
Carnival.
To pay for their therapy for the rest of their lives.
I mean, because they saw, yeah, this boat, this ship. Yeah. You can take it from Jacksonville to the Bahamas right now for either 2 to 5 days or 6 to 9, knowing that someone died in that elevator.
Nine days. It's probably haunted.
Woof. So, so that was awful. Okay. Disney Wonder, a.k.a. the missing crew member.
See, I hear that Disney cruises are really fun for kids.
Great. March 2011, Rebecca Corium, a British crew member on the ship, was captured by CCTV in the crew lounge having a phone conversation that appeared to be causing her some emotional difficulty. Several hours later, she missed the beginning of her work shift and could not be located anywhere. Then off the Pacific coast of Mexico, then the ship was off the coast of Mexico.
She was getting service on the ship?
Yeah.
Yes. Which is my takeaway from this.
So she did not respond to pages over the ship's public address system. A review of footage found that one appearance of her time-stamped 5:45 in the morning. An early unverified account, reportedly from another crew member, claimed she had gone overboard at 3 a.m., nearly 3 hours earlier.
Why didn't they report her?
I don't know. The case remains under investigation. Her whereabouts since the phone conversation have not been established. Her parents were critical of Disney's handling of the investigation, believing that the company knows more than it claims and has been more interested in avoiding unfavorable publicity than cooperating with investigators. You hear about that a lot with these when people go missing. This happened in this next case too, where people were allowed to like deboat in the next town when someone was missing. So they didn't stop, like they didn't try to make sure that no one got off the ship. Yeah. Like they were like, oh no, just go, because just they didn't go. Want people to panic.
Yeah, they don't want people to panic. They want everybody to get to their next destination and get off and do their excursions and whatever.
And in the meantime, the family is like, our family member is missing and one of your crew people maybe has her, someone on the ship maybe has her. And they were like,
they could have carried her body out in a bag, like, and...
Yep. So this case, Royal Caribbean International Rep, City of the Seas.
I've taken a Royal Caribbean cruise before.
Yeah.
It was really fun. I got to swim and watch a movie at the same time.
So ridiculous. March 21st, 1998.
Okay.
Amy Lynn Bradley, her parents Ron and Iva, and her brother Brad left for a week-long cruise on Rhapsody of the Seas. On the morning of March 24th, Bradley had been drinking with the ship's band, Blue Orchid, in the dance club. That's such a cruise ship name.
Naturally.
One of the band members named Alistair, known as Yellow, claimed he parted ways with Bradley around 1 a.m. Sometime between 5:15 and 5:30, Bradley's father saw her asleep on the cabin balcony. But when he got up at 6, just half an hour later, she was gone. Searches on the ship and at sea produced no signs of her whereabouts. Bradley was a trained lifeguard, and investigators said there was no evidence she had fallen overboard and none that she died by suicide either. There were several possible sightings of Amy in the following years, and a lot of people believe she was sold into slavery.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that was a case where people were allowed to move about the ship, leave the ship.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, the family is frantic. This ship is huge. They're trying to find their daughter and they never
found
her.
Human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
What was her name again?
Amy Lynn Bradley. And the last story is fiction, but it's really good.
Okay.
Okay. This is the book, The Woman in Cabin 10 by Ruth Ware.
You know what? Is this like a New York Times bestseller?
Probably.
I feel like I've seen this cover, The Woman in Cabin 10.
It's blue. 10. It's like a blue cover. It looks like rain against a window
pane.
Yes,
came out recently.
Yep. I almost had a panic attack reading this book. There's one scene that involves a small space that I got very, very panicky reading.
I need to read this. I think the movie's coming out.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's about Lo Blacklock, a journalist who writes for a travel magazine. She's just been given the assignment of a week on a luxury cruise with just a handful of cabins. Once on board, she witnesses a woman being thrown overboard. The problem? All of the passengers remain accounted for. And so the ship sails on as if nothing happened, despite Lo's desperate attempts to convey that something or someone has gone terribly wrong.
Oh, that actually sounds like, I bet Reese Witherspoon loved it.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
You know she loved it. You know she read it and she loved it.
So those are all the awful things that potentially could happen on a cruise ship.
Let me just tell you all the awful things that happened to me on my cruise ship. I hiked in the Alaskan rainforest. I went kayaking on a picturesque lake in Kanata.
Yeah.
I had endless glasses of rosé and lots of french fries, free french fries. Whenever my grubby little hand wanted to reach for them, there was a plate of french fries waiting for me.
Did they have sweet potato fries?
No, I didn't see any sweet potato fries. I ate steak, Bethany.
Ugh.
I ate French onion soup. I didn't have any, funnily enough, what is that? What's that freaking dessert called where they set it on fire?
Flambé.
No, the Alaskan something.
Oh.
Hang on.
Alaskan fire. I gave her the old Alaskan fire hydrant.
Alaskan dessert.
Alaskan
Baked Alaska.
Baked Alaska.
It's like that ice cream with the on fire meringue on top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't eat any of
why
that.
Not?
I don't know why. They didn't serve it the night I was there. I don't know.
Oh. What was the name of the restaurant there?
There's multiple restaurants. Multiple.
What was the name of the fish grill? There's always one
Ocean
fish grill.
Ocean Blue.
Yeah.
Ocean Blue.
It's always some unappetizing blue name.
Stop
it's usually
it, no.
Blue fish.
I
or
couldn't
a
get a reservation
blue.
There. They were all booked up. I couldn't get a reservation.
What is your money buying?
But
what
I
the hell?
Ate at this steakhouse that was delicious, Bethany. It would have held up in any New York street corner. Cagney's.
Can we go back a second?
Yeah.
You could not get a reservation on the ship's own restaurant.
It was a little bit frustrating.
Don't you Aren't you a citizen of the ship when you're there?
Up until this point in my life, I haven't done a cruise since college. Because in college, it was like, yeah, cheap, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And you would stay in the rooms with no windows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd stay in the section where the Irish people stayed in Titanic. Irish,
yes, exactly. Yeah. An Alaskan cruise has always, 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 always been on my bucket list.
Uh-huh.
Like, I saw whales up close, Bethany. I saw those little cute little penguins, those puffins.
Aww.
They were, I mean, I saw, like, sea otters. I saw...
That's great, but you couldn't get into the restaurant.
I saw a glacier, part of a glacier collapsing, which was really sad, actually. It was very sad. They're melting at an alarming rate. It's,
yeah.
You know, global warming is no joke.
Get
yourself to Alaska, like, tomorrow.
Oh.
So these glaciers are there when you, you know... Well, so they're not like soupy.
Well, also let's like try to save the earth.
Let's try to save the earth. But.
But back to the restaurant.
Okay.
You couldn't get into your own ship's restaurant.
It's like a whole freestyle dining thing where once upon a time you used to have like a specific dinner time and you would have to meet the same people at the same table every night at 6:30 or whatever. It's not like that freestyle cruising, which I much prefer now. It's sort of like there's specialty restaurants and then there's the regular dining room and then there's like, you know, like a garden cafe, which is like serve yourself buffet and there's no wait staff there. So the specialty restaurants, obviously they can't accommodate everybody because they're smaller than the regular dining rooms. You have to make reservations. And I boarded the ship late because I wanted to not get there early and have nothing to do. And so I couldn't get a reservation.
For the whole time?
Just at that Ocean Blue at the seafood place.
But for the whole time?
For the whole time, yeah.
It's a little bit like when you're waiting to board a plane.
Yeah.
And they make the announcement, this plane is oversold. Like, somehow that's your fault.
Yeah,
I know. And they're like, is anyone willing to not go? And I'm like, no, you should be able to accommodate all of the people that you sold tickets to.
Yeah, stop overselling shit.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So, I don't think that there's a better way to see Alaska than there is on a cruise.
Except one way. I have this survival pod I just invented.
Oh, no, you did it.
Do you want to test it out with me?
No, you didn't. You're about to go missing. You're about to go missing.
Kathleen?
Yes.
You know something that I am connected to nature about?
What?
BioClarity.
Yes.
Because you know why?
Because of Floralux.
It's made using chlorophyll, which is from plants.
So I actually brought my BioClarity Floralux mask with me on vacation.
Yes.
And my husband was like, huh, there's that thing that you're always reading commercials for on the podcast. And I was like, yes, duh, I love it.
Yes, we actually use it. So BioClarity is a green, clean skincare brand that was made to help keep your skin looking young, healthy, and fresh using only natural and gentle ingredients. And they are 100% vegan. They're cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, artificial fragrance-free, and they have 100% risk-free money-back guarantee.
So they have two routines to fit your skincare needs. The Clear Skin Routine for oily and breakout-prone skin, which is what Bethany and I both use.
Yes.
Or the Essentials Routine for normal skin and essential care.
Both routines consist of a 3-step regimen that helps improve the look and feel of your skin and is packed full of detoxifying nutrients. And they also include Floralux, which we were talking about. It's a special ingredient that helps with redness, hyperpigmentation, and evening out skin tone and texture, and you can only find it in BioClarity.
Oh, man, I suffer from all of those things.
Yeah.
And I love the BioClarity salicylic acid for my... Oh, man.
And I love their masks.
Oh, and their masks are... And their cleanser. I mean, I could just go on and on and on about how much I love BioClarity.
So get healthier, more radiant skin by going to BioClarity.com.
And right now, our listeners are going to save 40% off on skincare routines, plus an additional 15% off of everything on their website. That's an incredible deal.
But you have to enter our code ACQUIRED at checkout. ACQUIRED.
So go to BioClarity.com and get 40% off of skincare routines plus an additional 15% off of everything when you use our code ACQUIRED, ACQUIRED at checkout. Okay, Bethany.
Yes.
We got a letter from a taste bud last night and I opened it right away while I was watching TV and I started to cry. And, I want to read you some pieces of this.
Okay.
Our taste bud Rebecca says, hi, Bethany and Kathleen. I'm a total introvert and I love Acquired Taste podcast. I love you both so much. And I want to share this story with you. When my second child was born, she has 2 boys, 3 years and 5 months. When my second child was born, at 6 weeks old, we went on a yearly trip to Vermont with some close friends. Nothing special. It was just an excuse to visit people and get out of the house. After what seemed a normal few days of vacation, our world came crashing down around us, and we took our baby to the University of Vermont Pediatric Hospital. It was my gut feeling that his cold symptoms were not normal.
Oh, no.
The doctors didn't think much about it at first. They thought he'd be dismissed rather quickly. But in my heart, I knew that something bigger was wrong. And unfortunately, I was right. He declined rapidly. We were rushed to the PICU. And he was put on a respirator. And we were there for a week.
Oh, no.
The baby is okay.
Oh, thank God.
The baby's okay.
Jeez.
That's at the point when this email I started crying.
I was like,
The baby is okay.
Okay.
We went through 48 hours of doctors and nurses looking at us with their poker faces
We
finally heard the words, "We expect him to survive."
Oh my gosh.
It was the longest 48 hours of my life.
I can't even imagine.
I cannot imagine.
Oh my gosh.
Having seen how rapidly a baby could decline, it was hard to believe that we were out of the woods, even when we were released. We did our best, as all parents do, to stay strong for our children. I ran on adrenaline, and I think that I cried an entire body's worth of years that week.
Yeah.
Looking back. I mean, I've done that. I for sure have done that when really terrible things happen. You just cry so hard.
And even when you get the results that everything is going to be okay, yep, sometimes you cry harder.
Yeah.
Because you've been holding back so much.
Rebecca continues, "I was not emotionally okay when we got home, and neither was my husband. I had every emotion imaginable and feared that it would happen all again. And I just felt guilty that this happened to my baby." And, you know, I can imagine what she was going through, even though you have no control over a virus.
Yeah, of course.
"I was also very nervous that now I was in charge of watching my baby and we didn't have the PICU doctors around anymore."
Mm.
"When we returned home, my mother-in-law just wanted us to be okay. She was thrilled that the baby was alive. She said this should be a time for celebration, and they couldn't understand why my husband and I were out of sorts emotionally. We were still detached and weepy, and my mom would try to cheer me up and say, 'Put it all behind you.' My husband would start talking about it, and I would say, 'I don't want to talk about it.' And he would quickly respond, 'We have to.' And he was right. And I know that my mom had the best intentions, but it's not something that you can just put behind you so quickly." Mm-hmm. "So when my older son went back to school and my husband was back at work and it was just me and my younger son again, my baby, I started listening to the podcast again. I would listen while feeding my little baby, while painting the trim in his nursery." Listen, second kid problems. The nursery was done with the first one. "Your podcast and Downton Abbey gave me something to distract myself with so I wouldn't have to obsess over his every move. But most importantly, your podcast made me feel safe. You ladies made me feel like it was okay to admit that I was not okay. And you made me feel like I can own that emotion and not wallow in it forever, but just own it. And because I knew by only admitting that I'm not okay, will I ever be okay again. And I am feeling so much better. And my son is an amazing little rock star. And I'm trying to be the best mama that I can be every day. I also know that I need to start going to therapy to deal with some of my PTSD. Sometimes I'm okay and sometimes I'm not. And it's just really hard to admit out loud."
Yeah, that's significant trauma. That's no joke.
It's no joke. "I can't thank you enough for giving me the space to feel like I'm allowed to be a work in progress. I love you both. Keep being amazing and giving people a safe space to feel accepted."
Oh, that's so, so nice.
I thought that was a really nice letter.
I'm so honored. And I know, Kathleen, you feel the same way, that this show is less about us and the show, and it's more about the listeners and the community you all create for each other.
The older I get, the more I realize that A, people deal with stress and grief in very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And B, pretending like something didn't happen doesn't make the emotions go away.
No.
It only makes it worse.
It makes it worse. I had therapy right before I came here. And I was telling her about a panic attack I had. I actually posted about it on Instagram.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I had a panic attack at the book release party, which I posted a picture of a couple days earlier.
Your friend was releasing a book and you're in the book.
Yeah, and it's this awesome book called Girls and Their Cats. And it's about all of these amazing, strong women and their cats. And it's taking back that negative stereotype of like the crazy cat lady who is lonely and sucks and can't find a person.
I love that.
Insane. And it's you know, just about these beautiful relationships that women have with their cats, with their familiars. And so I was at this book release party and it should have been wonderful. And I had a total panic attack at the party. And my therapist said that one of the best things you can do if you're having a panic attack is to normalize it.
Yeah.
And to say to someone you feel safe around, like, "Look, this is what's happening. I'm having a panic attack right now. I'm feeling a lot of anxiety, blah, blah, blah." So that trying to hide it, trying to make sure, pretend it's okay, makes it so much worse.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud that Rebecca was able to say, look, this is what I'm going through. I'm getting better, but it's a thing that happened and I'm working on dealing with it.
And if there are people who are around you, I mean, God, I have family members who I think still wince a little bit when I talk about openly about going to therapy.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
Guess like, what? It's all about you, biatch.
It's like there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's like going to the you're going to the doctor.
There's nothing to be ashamed of. If you have to surround yourself or find at least one alliance that you can talk about this stuff with.
Sure.
There are a lot of people that subscribe to bury it.
Yeah.
Move on. Let's not talk about it. It's an upsetting thing.
Yeah. But you can't, like, there's someone who used to be in my life who has become very toxic, and I'm realizing it's because that person is pushing down a lot of anger and a lot of feelings about injustice that he has experienced. And that's great. And this person was my friend and cannot be my friend anymore because that toxicity is coming at me in a bad way.
Yeah.
And I can love you from afar and hope that you're well, but it's not something that you can surround yourself with if you're trying to get healthier. And therapy is about brain health. It's about your mental health.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing.
And telling the people around you, listen, I'm going through these emotions. I'm not okay right now. I'm going to be okay eventually, I hope. And I'm going to talk about the way that I'm feeling because it's going to help me get into a better place. Just lay the ground rules.
Yeah.
And then people will adapt. You'll be I'm always surprised the way people adapt.
Yeah. And people might shock you. Like, you might be surprised who isn't okay with it, but you also might be very surprised who is. When I told the host at this party that I had had a panic attack, she was like, oh, yeah, I have crazy social anxiety. Like, and we just started talking about it, and it made me realize that there were probably a handful of people in that party who also were about to have social anxiety panic attacks.
Yeah.
Hell, it's a bunch of people who love cats. Most of us are probably introverts.
I'm going to go with statistically, you're probably right on the nose with that one.
So, like, it's a bunch of people who are probably very anxious.
Yes.
But being honest about it really, really helps.
You know, and I think that being honest about grief and what you're going through, I've just been thinking about funerals a lot lately. My cousin Sarah, she lost her father, and her dad was her best friend. Mm. And I don't know that many people who can say, my dad was my best friend.
Yeah.
And she wrote a beautiful eulogy for her father at his funeral. And just being able to express herself in a way that wasn't typical for the church that we were in, that maybe wasn't a typical funeral style eulogy, just being able to express herself in that way. My other cousin said to me, wow, listening to Sarah talk up to her dad makes me want to go home right now and be a better parent.
Mm.
And so many wonderful things happen when you allow yourself to express your emotions.
Yes.
Instead of just pushing them down.
You're not doing anyone any favors by holding back.
You don't always need to have a brave face.
No. No, you do not.
And Rebecca, your brave face is by showing others that you didn't have a brave face for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So,
we love you guys so much.
It was really nice. And she attached so many cute photos of her and her sons. And she's beautiful. Her sons are beautiful. And she just looks like a really happy mom in these photos.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Yeah. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Okay. So back to Alaska. We've been talking. So I was on a hiking tour.
Yeah.
And I said to my guide, so do you guys get a lot of flooding around here, especially with the amount of water and like glaciers melting and stuff like that? Bethany, Juneau, Alaska gains a couple of inches every year because the water gets underneath the land and lifts the land up. It doesn't flood it.
Like a big boogie board.
Exactly.
Oh, that's crazy.
So a lot of Alaska is gaining height every year because they are so close to the glaciers and, you know, these major sources of frozen water that are melting that it's sort of like it floats it right up.
So it's like, it's interesting it's cool they don't flood.
Yeah.
Also bad the glaciers are melting.
Bad. Yeah, but exactly. But I'm glad that they don't flood.
They don't flood. Yeah. That's crazy. I didn't know that about Juneau.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
So I learned this. I haven't tried it yet. I don't know if it works.
Okay.
But I heard, you know, when you get either sweat or makeup or just like body rub off, like on white shirts, especially around the collar.
Yes, yes.
Someone told me this weekend that a good way to get it off is shaving cream.
Huh.
I've never tried it before, but he uses it and he like will rub shaving cream into the stain and he says then you just wash it and it comes out.
I wonder if it works for yellow armpits too, because that is like one of my biggest vices.
Yeah, I get it all the time. And so I have this beautiful white shirt that I got makeup on, and so I'm going to try it today. I didn't get a chance to try it before I came here, but I'm going to try it. You know,
the magic eraser, the like Mr. Clean magic eraser.
Yeah.
Some people use that on clothing too.
Oh.
I would do more research, especially if it's like a fine
fabric.
But yeah, some people use that too on stains.
That's awesome. Well, let you know. I'll report back.
The more you know.
Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
I am at WebGirl Kathleen on everything.
I am Miss Bethany Watson, MS Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
September. Fall. Mostly summer, but a little bit of fall.
You can follow us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
If you want to send us an email, you can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can send us physical mail. Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
And if you have a second, open up your iTunes or your Spotify or wherever you listen to this podcast and rate, review, and subscribe. Leave us a sweet love note. We love reading them.
And even if you have constructive criticism, first of all, please make it nice and then not hurtful. And then also 5 stars still would be great.
Yeah.
There was one really
sweet. My mom gives me pudding at the end of the week if we get 5 stars.
There was one really sweet. I was looking at our negative reviews. Like I went to the 1 stars and someone left a 1 star. They were like, I wish they had more every week and left 1 star. And I was like, okay, thank you. But that actually really hurts our rating. But thank you.
It's like a comment card in a restaurant. Like the wait staff was really sweet, but your food sucks.
No, don't leave. Okay, it's all right.
Or like on Yelp when someone leaves a review and it's like, my food was really delicious, but the air conditioning was too cold. 2 stars.
2 stars. Like no, please don't. But anyway, thank you. We really you guys are the best, and we love all that you do for each other. And we hope you have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Oh, and here are some of your voicemails.
Yes.
Hi, girls. Oh, my God. You are not going to believe what I am going through. I have been in a place where things have been just financially strapped. Everything that can go wrong has been going wrong. And I thought I had hit a low, but boy, was it not a low. I started to look into financial domination. And you know what? I can do this shit. Somebody paid me yesterday to humiliate them on a web chat. I can't believe this is happening. And you know what? My husband loves it. I love it. And my client loves it. This is a win-win situation for all of us. And I never, never would have thought that I could do it. But I can. It's like I'm a new person. Oh, my God. I thought you'd be excited.
Hey, ladies. My name is Jamie up here in Spokane, Washington. I just want to say hi. First time caller. I just listened to the one about the girl called in with the true love type thing, and I can't believe how relatable it is. I'm not the one that emailed in, but it is so very relatable, and just I have that same issue of keep looking back at my first love. You guys said a lot of the right things that I really needed to hear, and so just thought that was amazing.
Hello, ladies. This is Tastebook Jen from New Jersey, and I'm calling on Labor Day, Monday, September 2nd, because John Wick is on my sling, and I am watching it because Bethany loves this movie. So I'm going to give it a go. I hope that I like it, and thanks, Bethany, for the recommendation.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Tastebud Ariana from New York. Kathleen, I wanted to tell you that you inspired me in 3 ways recently. Also, my dog says hi. That's Danica. So number one, I watched all both seasons of Imposters. I finished it in like a week and a half or two, and it was awesome, so thank you. Number two, I ordered The Goldfinch from Amazon, and I'm reading it, and it's awesome, so thank you. And number three, in the last podcast, you were talking about self-care and making sure we take our vacation days and things like that. And yesterday, I booked my next vacation. My boyfriend and I are going to Curacao for a week in November. 6 whole nights, 7 days. So excited. So thanks for the inspiration. Love you, ladies. Bye.
Hey, girls. What's up? So I hope I'm not breaking a giant, unwritten, no-no rule of acquired taste, but I was calling to shout out my girlfriend, Jackie, from Belleville, Illinois. It's September 3rd, and today is her birthday. I wanted to shout her out because I know she'll probably hear this if you guys put it on the air. She's been a listener of you guys from day one, follows all your social media, and she is funny, smart, witty, and a little bit of badass, and she's a perfect mix. I love her very much, and I want her to know that. And you guys rock. She's kind of converted me, and you guys have become somewhat of a guilty pleasure. I find myself chuckling now and again when she leaves the podcast running while I'm taking a shower. So keep up the good work. We both love you. Jackie, I love you. Happy birthday.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Sarah. So I was just listening to the episode where Kathleen was talking about her phone addiction, and I just wanted to give you a tip that I use for avoiding phone addiction. So on the iPhone, I don't know if you can do it on Android, I'm guessing you probably can, you could change it to grayscale, which really just means turning your phone into black and white. So it kind of takes all the kind of excitement out of your phone. I read a couple quotes or listened to a couple ideas about where this really comes from, and one person said that doing this turns your phone from a toy into a tool. And then I read another quote that there's a vibrant world out there and your phone shouldn't be it. So I thought I'd throw that tip your way. You both are great. I hope you have a great day. Bye.
It's Facebook Lauren. I'm in my car on my way to work right now. Just listened to last week's podcast. I need Hallmark Movie Original, A Lesbian Plot Hole for Christmas. Please, thank you from all the gays. Stephanie, filmmaker, make it happen. Thanks.
My name is Gianna, and I just had to pause the podcast because I am laughing so hard. I was just listening to the part where Kathleen is talking about how she listens to jazz during the day now. And the first thing that came to mind was that saxophone song. And all of a sudden, Bethany starts singing it, and I'm over here like, Bethany, we have the same brain. All right, love you guys. Bye.